Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Good morning. Good morning. I think you all know me. I'm Gary, one of the elders here. You know that. I was talking to a guest. And I know you're looking over here and saying, are we doing communion? The answer is no.
The ladies are meeting. Make one announcement.
Okay, one announcement. The meetings, are, the ladies are meeting.
Tomorrow night at 7.
Tomorrow night at 7.
Well, we meet every week.
We understand that. We're dedicated. Well, you know, when I started to prepare for this message, I thought about, you know, this is, as we get on in age, we kind of, the first time doing this and first time doing that really goes away. There's less of the first times the older we get. Well, today is a first. Matter of fact, today is two firsts in my life. First is, this is the first time that I'm honored to preach at Identity Church on a Sunday. It only took us 5 years. So if you want to speak, you got to stay. Isn't that great? The second one is, I get to tag with my bride in speaking. We've never done this before. So this is a first for both of us. You know, Rodney, you said that we win in an end. And I agree with that. However, from the time of now to the end, sometimes, you know, we don't get what we want. We don't even know what we want. But I learned one thing in sports, that no matter if you're a winning team, there's going to be times when you're not winning. And what do they tell them to do? They tell them to go back to the basics. Yeah. Go back to the basics of what you know, what you practice, what was in your heart, and how to do it. I think we've cried out for healing and deliverance and prophetic. No, not pathetic, but prophetic. We've cried out for that, but something's going on. Yes. Something's going on. I can't stop, dear. I'm sorry. Something goes going on. And I think we as a body, we need to get back to basics. And once we get back to basics, I believe you'll see something different. So today, I want to get back to basics. What am I preaching on?
Basics.
Basics of what? The mind?
Oh,
the mind. That's right, the mind. Oh. Oh. It's a terrible thing to... It is. Today, thank you, Jesus. Then would you put the first scripture up, please? When I was reading, I've been preparing this for a long time. And as my bride would tell you, I'm not very hospitable to be around whenever I'm preparing because I don't know what the heck I'm going to say. Even to the night before, I'm going, okay, I don't get it. I don't get it, but I know every time that I come up here, my bride tells me, you don't use your notes. Why do you do this? I say, I don't know. I really don't know. But all I know is the word that God gave me for today. It's a word for today. And it's a word for not only myself and my family, but I believe it's a word for everybody else. So I was studying one time. I was in just reading the Bible and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I came across that. And it's Paul. He was talking, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord." Now, I've studied this before, and I knew that we were a three-part being. Paul says it: spirit, soul, and body. So I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to go back to Genesis and see how these were formed, how God gave it to us. How did he create us? Well, the body was easy. He formed us, didn't he? He formed us out of dust. God, he's a great God. Out of dust. Look what happened. Look at the beauty that he created. Out of dust. The spirit, I understood. Because what did he do? And we received the spirit. But then, I come across this soul. Diane, would you bring up Genesis? Oh, thank you. And then it says, he talks about the body, right? He talks about the spirit and the breathing of the breath of life. But then he says, we became a living creature. Where's the soul? Why aren't we spirit, body, and a living creature? That would make sense to me. But no, he says that we are spirit, body, and a soul. So I went and started researching in the original, in the New King James. It says that we're not a living creature, we're a living soul. But this bothered me for a while because I'm going, well, I know one thing. As we journey, oh, wait a minute. You know what's cool about this? He didn't create it. I mean, he didn't form it. He didn't blow into us. It just went, poof! You're a soul. And I'm going, that's pretty cool. What else can God do in our lives? If he can go, poof, Debbie, you became a soul. But what is this soul? What does it consist of? You see, when Satan, before he was kicked out of the heavenly realms, he was around. He was around when God did this. And he was watching God, and he said, hey, this is pretty cool. He also knew it was not on in the heavens, but it was on earth. And he got kicked out of heaven. So he thought, this is what I'm thinking, he thought, wow, I can't do anything here, but I can do something down there. But he forgot about one thing. See, we're spirit, soul, and body. The spirit he couldn't touch in us, because that's God. See, Satan can't touch our spirit. He doesn't want our bodies. Our bodies are a tent. Why would he want our bodies? But he said, you know what? That soul part of these things that God created, that soul thing that contains the emotions, the mind, and the will. He said, I want influence over that. That's what I want. So from the time of creation until today, there is a battle going on. And that battle is not for our spirit right now. That battle is not for our body. But that battle is for our mind. And today, I want to share about the mind. What is this thing and where is it? And what does it do? Here's what I know. The mind isn't an organ like the brain, nor does it have a physical location. Where is it? But it hangs out in the brain. And I've come up with two different definitions of the mind. The first is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is a mind that has awareness of consciousness of what we know. It has the ability to control what we do and knows what we are doing and why. It's the ability to understand who we are. However, there's a second definition of the mind, and I want to tag that as the spiritual mind. You see, the spiritual mind has the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to control what we do and knows why he does it and has the ability to understand who Christ is in us and who we are in Christ. Isn't that cool? You see the difference? It's a worldly view of the mind and a godly, spiritual view of the mind. But before I continue, let's make this a legal church meeting, okay? I'd like to go through some scripture about the mind. And I was told every time you include scripture, it's a legal church gathering, Dad. Ah. Yeah, so we're going to do the scripture. The first is in Rome. This is all about the mind. The first is Romans 7:23. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and make me captives of the law of sin. See, the mind can bring us into captivity. The next is Romans 7:25. Okay. Because I don't have them written down. Well, it talks about the law, the mind needs to serve the law of God. Can you try Romans 8:6? Maybe Romans 7:25 disappeared somewhere? I hope it's still in the Word. No? Oh. Thanks to Christ our Lord, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind. He's telling us what we do with our mind, that we can serve the law of God. Now in Romans 8:6, don't worry, there's only a couple here. For I set the mind of the flesh to death, but to set the mind of the Spirit. It can bring death or life. Yeah. The mind. A mind of what we don't know where it's at. We don't even know what it is, but we know we have one. See, Satan wasn't worried about the emotions or the will. He was pretty smart. He knew that if he can have influence on the mind, the emotions, the will are his. So that's what controls those. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, so I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord, that all you agree that there is no division among us. He unites the people. You can't see it in there, but 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds. The mind can be blinded. However, there is one scripture that struck my heart. And that is in Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern the perfect, what is it? will of God with two other descriptive words there. So let's take a look at this. Conformed. The translation of conformed is following the same pattern. Yeah. So, you know, see, Paul was saying this to this church because he wanted the people to know that there's a possibility for this to happen. That we can be conformed to this world. If we couldn't be conformed to this world, I don't think Paul would have warned the church that we can be conformed to this world. Because this world is a carnal world, Satan's domain. You see, from the very beginning, Satan wanted to have influence on our mind. This is the reason why it is so hard that he works so hard in these areas of anxiety, stress, insecurity, worry, fear. The whole family is stinking thinking. He wants to disengage us from our effectiveness to carry out our responsibility. What is our responsibility? Well, that's kind of easy because he commands us in the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are responsible for bringing heaven to earth. Yeah. Yeah. And once we understand this and engage in it, could it be possible that his kingdom pattern be our worldly pattern? Wouldn't that be cool that we could wake up and know that no matter what we do, that we're renewing our mind daily and we can go out in the world and we don't have to worry about a thing? But see, do we do that? Or do we let anxiety and fear and different things that Satan uses to get us off the mark or where Christ wants us to stop us from bringing heaven down to earth? Let's look at the second word, is transformed. When God showed me this, this was so cool. Transformed means, the word means transfigured. Now, anybody remember the word transfigured? Does that ring a bell? It says, and he was transfigured before them. Who was them? John?
Peter?
Mama?
James.
But what's interesting is he did this in front of people. He did this in front of his disciples. That when he was transfigured, his face shone like the sun. Can you imagine standing in front of Christ and see this transfiguration? What would that do to you? What would it do that to me? See, his body revealed the reality of another world. And those three got to see it. But the way I see it seems like to me that when God transforms, shouldn't there be some manifestation of a change in our life? Yeah. If there's no change, there's probably no transformation, is there? What did Jesus do in front of the disciples? In Matthew 5, 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden." And he tells us, goes through 16, "Nor do people light the lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. Shine before others so that they may see your good works." Yes. Oh, wait a minute. It says that we will shine. And in the transfiguration, it said that Jesus shined. So this morning I was going over this and I went, wait a minute. I wonder if these are the two same words. And guess what? They were. And I thought, oh my God. Jesus shone at the Mount of Transfiguration. He's in us. And he said that we need to shine. So when we shine, that means that we're transformed. And if we're transformed, people are going to see it. But we walk around thinking, oh, it's okay. I know I do sometimes. I don't shine sometimes. And we're talking about transforming the renewed mind by the renewing of our mind. Have you ever heard of the acronym GIGO? GIGO? Some might be, no, this is not a young church, so you ever heard of GIGO? Does anybody remember what it means? And where was that from? That was in the computer and technology when they first started. It was, they were putting stuff in that didn't have to go in, but when it went in, guess what came out? The same garbage that went in. Does that sound familiar to us? Because before we were saved, we had garbage coming in and garbage coming out. We were just like the computer. But it didn't bother us because we weren't saved then. But when we gave our lives to Christ, what happened? We were transformed and we were guaranteed our salvation. But you say, Ted, transformed, but were we? Because giving your life to God doesn't mean that your mind is renewed. Okay? Now remember the passage in this, it says, he was talking to the church and they were new believers and their heads were probably still filled with what they've been taught in Judaism. Or they were unbelievers and know nothing except how to operate in this world. They were carnal. So it was important to Paul to let him know, saying, hey, you got to renew your mind. See, we got to do the same. We got to make a conscious effort not to allow the stinking thinking to sneak in. We don't do it. See, it's not that our thoughts are different, but that our way of thinking is transformed because we think from a different reality. We need to think from heaven to earth. And that's what Paul wanted us to do in transforming the mind. But transfer of mind is not the issue of whether or not we're going to heaven. It really isn't. But it's the issue of how much heaven we want to bring down to this world. See, it's not about us. The transfer of mind is not about us so we can, oh, look how holy I am. The transfer of mind is where people can see because we shine that we are the light. That we are the light that shines and people can see it. If people aren't seeing it, guess what? It's time for us to go back into our prayer closets and find out, why aren't I shining, God? But do we? You see, when our minds are renewed, we are able to see the kingdom displayed as Jesus did when he was on earth. You know, before I go any further, talking about shining, that we shine, I'm going to bring my bride up here, and she wants to talk about a vision. You're doing the vision, right?
I'm going to talk about how green. It's green. I'm talking. Can y'all hear me? Hello?
Yeah, that's right.
There we go. All right. I'm going to talk about a vision that I had during a deliverance. And it's interesting. What you learn in deliverance is what is for them is usually for you as well. So I was praying, and before the person came in, the Lord gave me a vision. And in that vision was a hallway that was very dark. It looked like almost like a prison, because the light bulb had a cage over it as you went down the hall. And there were these large steel doors on either side of the hall as you marched down. Steel doors on this side. No windows, solid. And there was a big button on the side. And what he said to me was that this person had somebody imprisoned on the other side of that wall. And as you pushed the button, there was this huge pressure. You could feel it release as that door went open. And it was very dark in there. You had to carry your light into that room and release that person you held captive out into the light. Bring light into the room and let them out. Now, be very clear with me. There are dangerous people, and there's reasons why we lock people away. But that is not the person in prison. This is your mind. Your mind has imprisoned you. To the release that comes, that release needs to be you. And as I contemplated this, we went through the deliverance. There was a lot of freedom. But I knew the Lord was talking to me as well. And over a couple of months, I began excavating that hallway. And the first couple of doors were people. And I realized that there were still, even people I interact with, there were still parts of them that were in the past dangerous, and I still held them behind the pressure of that door. I needed to carry my light into that room and let them come into the light. That frees me. But as I began, this is a process of doing the work of the mind. And as I went down the hallway, I was surprised at who I found behind those doors. But then the Lord, and I stood there and I could still see more doors, and I said, okay, Lord, I think I've gone through everybody I can think of. And he said, who you have in those others' doors are you. And as I went up to the very first door, I knew what that door was as soon as I stood in front of it. For me, I'm an artist, and there was a lot of tragedy in the loss of that gift. And I stood in my studio, and I looked at all the paintings that fill that room, and they were all unfinished. That's profound why I just can't break through. So I stood at that door, and the pressure and the fear and the perfection and all the stuff that comes with digging out that deep gift. I pressed that door, and it seemed like I had to take inches of light into every part of that room. And there were still dark corners that needed light, that needed renewing, that needed healing, that needed some freedom around them. And God, through that light, brought it in. And you know, the interesting thing about the doors is that once you release them, they can't be shut. All right. You can create another room But that door will never be shut. Once light goes in, it never can be filled with darkness again. You can put that person back down the hallway or that situation back in a door, but it's interesting when freedom comes, it's very difficult to do that again. The next door that I went into, when I opened it, you could almost hear the steel slowly grinding open. And when I stood in front of that door, the air had a texture. It was almost like tar. And as I poured my light and I spoke life into it, it just fell into a black hole. That door was injury and sickness. And I stood there and I fought at that door, and it just sucked the life into it. It did not penetrate. We know for truth that the light never negotiates with the darkness. It always wins. So I began to ask people in my life to pray, because I couldn't get breakthrough in that door. And I got a call late in the night and said, the Lord showed me that is demonic and we're just going to pray. And so we stood there and fought at the front of that door. She lives 3,000 miles away, but it doesn't matter. There is no time or space. And we began to fight, and it had to leave. It can't stay, especially with two coming against it. And as I stepped into that room, the Lord brought the most amazing color. The light was like honey. It was the texture of honey. It was the color of honey. It ran down the sides of the wall of that cell. And there, that door remains open for me forever. There are still many days I go into that room and stand in that honey light that's almost the color of honey and the color of oil, both at the same time. It is sweet and it is anointed. And I stand there. Have I seen that breakthrough in my body? No. But I know in my mind there is a shift. There is a shift of life. There is a shift of healing. The interesting thing that the Lord taught me in that moment is we are the body of Christ. Many of those doors in our lives are too dangerous to fight alone. They're just too dangerous. They're just too hard. They're too familiar to stand alone. That is why we call somebody. There are counselor, there is deliverance. There is your best friend who can stand there at the door with you. The Lord always stands with you. His light is always with you. But it sometimes takes more than you to walk through that door. And it's interesting what happens is when those rooms fill with light, the hallway fills with light. And as I began to go down the hall, I turned to go to the other side and I said, okay, Lord, what's on this side? And he said to me, in every door on the other side, there are promises, there are gifting, there is hope, there is joy. You have access to open every one of those doors. Free your mind from what has paralyzed you on this side so you can have freedom on the other side. You can move in who you are. That is about doing the work of the transformed mind.
Hallelujah. Thank you, dear. Isn't it nice whenever you can tag team with your bride? And when I'm up here, it's like, and when she's up here, she's like, hi, my, it's lovely. But we make good partners, dear, and that was awesome, awesome word. There's so much more about the mind. You know, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Yes, you may.
Kathy, did God reveal to you what the light was that was in the hallway?
I really believe that's the Holy Spirit.
Because it was there before you came there.
It was there before I came. Okay, it was waiting for me to move into those places.
That's a great
visual you gave.
Yes.
That's a great visual.
That's how you teach us.
Yes.
You know, we have to make a conscious effort of doing this.
Yeah.
It's nice to come and sit in church and have someone tell you to do it. But until we get tired enough of living the life that we're living, coming to church and going back and not seeing the power of God, what are we going to do? We just can't. And you know, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting results differently.
Yeah.
We can't do that anymore, church.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have too much time left on this earth, but the time I want to be on this earth, I want to spend it bringing heaven down to this earth and living a life like that. Who's with me on that one? That's made a dedicated choice, because I can't make it for you, you, or you.
All right.
You have to make it.
Yes.
And it's about time we do make it, isn't it?
Yes.
You tired, Ed?
No.
You're not tired? No, I mean, you're tired of living the life and not seeing the power coming down?
Yes.
Marianne, Phil, Lita, I know you are. I sit behind you on Thursday, boy, she is just buzzing and with the Holy Spirit. But see, let's do it. I know we've talked a lot and there's more to talk about, but I know one thing, that I don't know what the statistics are, but I know that you can talk about something and the retention is X amount of percent. But when you show something about something, it increases. And then when you talk and show about something, that even increases.
Yes.
And what I want you to do is I want you to leave here today. Jay, would you come up a minute, please help me? Is leave here with the words and the visual. Let's move this just over. We're not taking communion. I said that before, so don't freak out here. Okay? You ready? I'm a magician. No, I'm not. What the heck is this? Why are you laughing? You don't get it? I told you they would get it, dear. They don't get it. I want you to look at this again. Look at what's up there. Do you get it now?
What's up there? Two pitchers of water.
Hey, I'm up here.
Oh, man.
Milk.
I'm only kidding. I didn't expect you to get this. But I expect you to get this. You see, we mentioned this earlier today, that when we are worldly and in the world, I'm going to show you what our mind was looking like, okay? This was our mind. Cloudy.
Yeah.
Filled with worldly things. Would you like to have a drink of this one?
No, thank you.
Why? It's too worldly for you? There's a lot of caca in here, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't drink caca.
I don't like caca either. But this is who we were.
Yeah.
This, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. But then we got smart, and we gave our lives to Christ. And here's what happens as we continue to walk with Christ. As he takes the living water and he pours it into our mind, it continues and continues and continues and continues, and it becomes clearer. This is what the renewed mind, let's get it even clearer. But before I do, you're going to think, oh, that's cool, man. I want this. Well, you can have this. If Jesus walked this earth like this, we can walk this earth like this. And I know some people say, oh, that's, I'm only human. I can't do that. I said, well, I'm sorry. If Jesus did it, he lives in me, I can do it. You can do it too. You can have your mind, and that's a little bit still cloudy. But here's what happens to us as believers. Satan comes around and goes, man, you don't have enough money to live the rest of the month. Oh, you're scared, aren't you? Yeah. You're anxious because you, Dan, what's Dan doing? Oh, I don't know where Dan is. But you're anxious. See, he'll come in and he'll go, hey, I know you're a believer, but gotcha. Yeah. Our mind now is contaminated even more. But you cry out and you say, this can't happen. I'm a believer. It can't happen. But what do? We continue to pour the living water into our mind. And voila. Clean water. The water, the living water from heaven that we can drink daily on this earth as if we were in heaven drinking the water, which I'm not sure we're going to need, but let's make a commitment. Let's make a commitment not to the church, but to God, to say, hey, I'm done. I'm finished. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to go, I see the change because the light is on, because we are light of the world.
Yes, we are.
Amen. So just remember, the renewing of the mind is essential. It's a necessary tool that God has given us. And we can't take this lightly. Can't take it lightly. I believe it means too much to God. And I know it's going to mean too much to me. Saints, this is a normal Christian life. Living with a renewed mind. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.